What Does God Want? That's coming up next, right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Stay tuned. The Parker J. Cole Show. I am so very, very glad you are here with me today. What's really exciting about this show is that we're going to be talking to someone who basically got struck by lightning twice. What does that mean? You'll find out in just a few moments. I met Walker, quote unquote, I met him on Amazon as I was browsing through some books one day, and I was just really drawn to his book, and the title was What Does God Want? And I know many of us as believers and non-believers alike, for that matter, ask that question, what does God want? Especially when we're dealing with tragedy, when we're dealing with devastation, when we're dealing with things that go wrong in our life, we ask the question, what does God want? Well, I think we have an answer for you today, so tune in. Now, this show is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any questions or live comments today, but get your fam and friends and join us by calling in at 929-477-1965. We'll be right back after these brief messages. Stay tuned.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for The Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to The Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very, very glad you're here with me today. We're going to be talking to author Walker James and his book, What Does God Want? Have you ever felt you got hit by lightning twice? Well, you're going to find out what it's like for Walker and what he has done to figure out exactly what God wants. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Walker James. Walker, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Parker. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm so glad you were able to take time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the show. And first of all, I have to tell you, I love your name, Walker, because the first thing that comes to mind is Walker Texas Ranger. That's the first thing that comes to mind as soon as I hear.
Norris.
Can you do karate and, you know, take out bad guys with a finger? And
no, I wish. I need Chuck Norris as a bodyguard or something like that, right? Just hang around in his aura.
Yeah. I just want to be there. And I love almost every Chuck Norris joke out there. I love almost every one of them. I just love those jokes because,
They're
awesome. You know, I'm so glad you're here with me today. As I said before the show, you know, one of the things that drew me to your book was the very title itself, What Does God Want? And I know we're going to delve into this, But do you think, and I hinted at it during the introduction of the show, do you think believers and non-believers ask this question, but do they really mean they're asking something else?
Well, I think they're looking, depending on the situation and the tragedy or the challenges that they're going through in their current life, the answer they're looking for may be different. I think the question's the same, but they're expecting possibly, you know, a different answer depending on what they may or may not be going through. And I think we all suffer from the same problem I had back when God, you know, challenged my life, and that is I really didn't know him. I really didn't know who he was. I knew who everyone said he was or what they thought we should be doing, you know, like rules and regulations and rituals and all those kinds of things. But I didn't really know him personally or know what he wanted personally with me or for me or that kind of stuff. So the book really dives into that question, not right away. First off, it says, okay, well, here's my problem, right? Here's my tragedy. Here's my difficulties. And then this is how I responded. And, of course, I didn't really respond very well, as you know. I threw a temper tantrum for 12 years. But after that, then I invested some time really into getting to know God and learning about what he wanted.
And I like how you said, I threw a temper tantrum for 12 years, because essentially a lot of it is just us throwing temper tantrums. I remember when I saw my godson throw a temper tantrum, and I'm looking at him going, what are you doing? Like, we're in public. What are you doing right now? Why are you on the floor, face is all red, tears falling out of your eyes because you can't get any candy? What are you doing? You know, you kind of look like that. But that's probably how God feels when we throw our temper tantrums. But we're going to get into that in just a moment. So in the beginning of your book, you literally start off screaming at God. Your book starts off screaming at God. And I can tell anyone who's reading What Does God Want, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, anyone reading the first part of your book will be instantly drawn in, because we have all have had this conversation with God in some way or another. But in your book, you say that you were already a Christian for 8 years. So what did your journey to being a Christian before this 12-year temper tantrum happened? What was your journey to Christianity like?
Well, I like to describe it as God tricked me. Right. So he set a trap, and then he tricked me into, you know, becoming his child. And so here's kind of how it went. So we had just moved. I was like 14, 15 years old. So I was just still a kid, just starting high school. And we just moved into a new neighborhood. And a couple of my younger brothers had come back. I was downstairs in the basement doing something. I don't remember what. But they come back in and they said, hey, we just found a Bible study that's up the street and is really cool. You want to go with us? I said, well, what would I want to go to a Bible study for? There's nothing in a Bible study for me. And so they said, well, they're giving away free cookies. That was it. That's all it took, right? Who doesn't want free cookies? So I go up to the Bible study the next week when they go, and they, sure enough, they've got free cookies, and I have, you know, free cookies, and I'm listening to the study, and I don't remember anything spectacular about the first time going. But the second week that I went, you know, we were going back to get some more free cookies, because I lived in a big house. We didn't get cookies all the time, 7 brothers and sisters, so we had a big family. So it wasn't something we normally got. So we go back the second time, and all of a sudden the woman that was teaching the study had her younger daughter helping teach the study, doing the felt things, moving them around. And I looked at her, and she was like the most prettiest, gorgeous girl on the planet that I think I've ever seen in my life, right? So now God's tricked me and trapped me, and I'm not coming just for the cookies, because the cookies wouldn't have lasted long, right? I'd have left probably sooner or later. So he had to get me something there to hold me stronger. So he brings this beautiful woman into my – and I'm only 15, right? So I really probably at the time don't know what beautiful women are, but she was gorgeous, stunning, and I was in love. So that's kind of – so I stayed in going to Bible study, and eventually that led to church camp. And then when we went to church camp, couple of the counselors there just pulled me and my cousin aside and said, hey, you know, you really want to know God and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And we said, yeah, sure. And so they bought me a Bible, and pretty much that was it for, you know, coming to know the Lord. And then they gave me the Bible, said, read your Bible, go to church, you know, and everything will be happy and hunky-dory. And of course, later, as you find out and from reading my book, it doesn't always turn out that way.
Unfortunately, the story doesn't end there. And I say that because there are some people who are under the impression that once you accept Christ, things will be better. And I would say, and Walker, please correct me if I say it wrong, I would say that it's almost as if you go on alert, because we're already soldiers. Now, you've already picked a side. You picked the side of the winning side, which
correct.
Is Christ. But this is spiritual warfare, and these are battlegrounds, and you've defected to the other side. And because
absolutely.
You've defected to the other side, there is someone upset with you, and they say, either come back or I'm going to get you. So it's kind of like an all-points bulletin goes out, you know? And guess what's happening? Walker has gotten saved. All-points bulletin, be on the lookout. I would almost have
yep.
to say it like that, Walker. Go ahead and correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, actually, no, you're absolutely right. And I would add just one little thing. The enemy paints a target on your back and says,
mm-hmm.
here, shoot here, hit here.
mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, no,
hit
absolutely.
Right where it's going to hurt.
You've defected. Yeah, no, exactly. You've
yeah.
defected, and now you're a marked target.
And with that, when you look back, well, let me back up real quickly. In the synopsis of your book, you talk about tragedy. So before we get into your personal experience, what I'm going to term getting struck by lightning twice, tell us why tragedy can make or break a relationship with our Lord. Tell us about that real quick.
Well, whenever tragedy or God allows tragedy to come into your life, you have an opportunity to respond, right? You can respond positively or you can respond negatively. And I think what I learned initially was when he challenged me in my life, I didn't respond positively, right? I responded negatively. Now, I thought, you know, as I was going through it, that I had reasons, right? I had good reasons. I was asking God these questions and he wasn't answering me. So, you know, throwing a temper tantrum was the next best thing I could do. I mean, how do you punish an infinite being, right? So I thought that
yeah.
was the only thing I could do. And so that was my choice. But what I really found out in the end, and this was, of course, many years later, what I found out at the end was that the reason I threw the temper tantrum was because I didn't know God, right? So because I didn't know him, I didn't know how to interpret the tragedy that he was bringing me through. And that's really where I fell short, right? I didn't interpret what he was doing or why he was doing what he was doing correctly. And that's what I'm trying to help others with this book. And it's actually a series of books that we'll be doing, is getting to know God, and that way you can understand and put into perspective the things that are going on in your life, the things he's allowing to come into your life. You can put those into perspective as to who he is and what he wants from you, and how he wants you to respond in these tragedies, through these tragedies, and through these storms that he brings in. And he wants to use them to grow you and help you see who he is and how much he loves you, and to help you fall in love with him.
When you were talking about how people respond to tragedy, I started thinking about when my mom and my dad lost their house back in 2000. I want to say, it's been so long now, I want to say 2006, 2007, somewhere around there, because that's when the crash hit, right? We were a year before the crash
right.
hit. And
yep.
I remember being extremely depressed because me and my sisters had done everything we possibly could to try to keep the house there. My mom had lost her job. My dad had lost his job. They had lost their cars. They had lost the house. And just all these things kind of domino. It was a domino effect. But when we look back at that tragedy, we were being set up for something more. But at the time, you don't see it. because you're looking at why is all this happening to us. But, again, we'll get to why you got struck by lightning twice in just a moment. And I keep saying that deliberately because I think I know our listeners are going to be just intrigued by your story. So looking back, how do you view tragedy now? You kind of hinted at it with the response to the question I just sent you before this one, but how do you view it now? Because tragedies can still happen in your life. It's not as if now that you've learned something, tragedy is going to stop happening. If anything, it will continue to happen because things in life happen. So how do you view tragedy now?
Well, actually, I've got a quote that I put in the book from a pastor I listen to all the time, Pastor Greg Laurie. And he says in that quote, he says, everything that comes into your life must first go through the hands of God. When we understand this to be true, then everything that is going on in our life has been orchestrated or purposely put there for a reason by God. And I think that goes back to understanding He is sovereign, He is in control. And once we understand that, we can see that He wants to bring out character and traits and relationship traits in us that grow us and strengthen us, right? Because He's actually building a kingdom, and He wants us to be part of that kingdom, and He wants us to partner with His kingdom and cooperate with what He's doing with His kingdom. And the best way for Him to do that is sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes just to allow us to go through some struggles, go through some tragedy, in hopes that we will recognize His hand in through it. Now, a lot of times there are hard answers or no answers to the why, right? We often want to know, well, the why. And of course, if you read the book, why was the question I asked all the time. But I learned why asking God why is not necessarily the right question, right? Asking Him why is kind of putting Him on the defense, making Him defend Himself. The better question to ask is what? What are You trying to teach me, Lord? What do You want me to learn in this tragedy, in this challenge? How do You want me to respond to this? And how can I use this tragedy or this difficulty to fall more in love with You, to help others learn from what You've got me going through? Right. So the challenge He's giving you, because He knows that down the road, you're going to need this to help this other person going through something similar as you are. And you can come alongside them, put your arm around them and love on them and show them His love. Right. So there's a lot of purposes and reasons that God, you know, weaves these challenges and these tragedies in our lives.
And we're talking today to Walker James. He is the author of the book, What Does God Want? Is this a question that you've asked yourself a few times in your life? Well, you definitely want to continue listening, because when we come back from the break, Walker is going to tell us about some verses that have helped him through tragedy, and then he's going to go deep down and dirty into the book, What Does God Want? And we'll be right back in just a few moments.
Has God called you to be a pastor or leader, but the men and women in your church won't let you speak because you're a female? Is the call to minister strong on your life, but you hesitate because you think the Bible tells women to be silent in the church? I'm Jory Micah, and I am here to tell you, sister, that together we can break the glass steeple. I fight and advocate for gender equality in the church, and there are others with me who are holding up the banner. Subscribe to my blog at jorymicah.com for interviews, commentary, and uplifting words to give you the motivation to answer the call to ministry. Together, we can break the glass steeple and inspire all of God's children, men and women alike, answer the call to ministry.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? Sormac Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. Sormac Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, Sormac Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on Sormag.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about Sormag Digital, check us out on Sormag.com or contact us at Sormag@Yahoo.com. Sormag Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very, very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to Walker James, and he is the author of the book, What Does God Want? I know some of you are asking this question because the holiday season is coming, and maybe some of you are dealing with devastation right now. Someone may have lost a loved one. Someone may have been laid off from their job. Someone may have found out that the relationship they thought they had did not exist. And some of you are dealing with mental problems, emotional problems, health problems. And the question you are asking is, what does God want? So Walker is helping us to answer this question, but he's doing that by putting us in a particular perspective. What that perspective is, you'll find out during the broadcast. And Walker, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show to talk about your book, What Does God Want, and sharing your story with us. Before the break, you mentioned that tragedy is a bridge, sort of like a bridge, and it helps us understand that God is leading us through this tragedy, not letting us walk alone. But some Amen. People need to be healed through the Spirit and through the Word of God. So what are some verses that you like that have helped you through tragedy that you can share with us?
I've got a couple that I'm really, really fond of. And this one I discovered kind of by accident because it's kind of an obscure verse. It's in Zephaniah 3:17, and it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." So what that said to me is God doesn't just love you, but he's going to sing and dance and rejoice over you, right, because of his love for you. And so that's just a comforting verse to know how fond God is of us. We say God loves you, but we don't really know the depth and the breadth of the meaning of God loves us, right? But this verse kind of pulls that love out and says, well, he's not just going to love you. He's going to rejoice over you. He's going to sing and dance over you. I mean, that's some pretty heavy-duty love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then another verse.
All-encompassing.
All-encompassing, exactly. Another verse I like a lot is Matthew 7:7-8, which is, of course, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, open to you, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened." And, of course, this goes back to one of my initial problems. I was asking, but I was asking the questions in the wrong way, right? I was asking the why question. And, of course, I dive into the book a little bit more as why we don't want to ask why questions, but that's what I was doing. But God loves it when we ask questions because it really excites him because it shows that we're excited to get to know him more, right? We're excited to figure this stuff out. I mean, he put all this stuff here for us to figure out in the first place, and he wants us to invest in getting to know him more. And if you know anything about relationships and stuff like that, asking somebody a question about, well, what's your favorite color, or what do you like to do, or what do you do for fun? Those are always things that get people talking about themselves and things going on. Well, it's no different with God, right? When you're asking him questions, he loves giving you the answers and showing you the way. It shows you that you're inquisitive and you want to grow and develop this relationship with him. And then, of course, the
one other verse, Matthew 13:44-46, it says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, right, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And, of course, this is when Jesus is telling his disciples and the people that are listening to him about what the kingdom of heaven is like and how it's like a treasure. So when you find the kingdom of heaven, you look at it as, I found a treasure. Now I'm going to give up everything else in my life to possess this treasure. And the coolest part about the dynamic of this series of verses I like is that when you find Jesus and you find God and you find that relationship with him, you understand that you have a treasure, right? So now you are, when you possess God, you possess all of heaven. He's giving it all to you. So now you have the greatest treasure in the world. Why would you want to go seek treasure elsewhere? So those are really some things that kind of helped me through, you know, the struggles and the challenges that I went through in my life. So hopefully they help others as well.
I'm sure that they will, Walker, because those of us who are dealing with tragedy, whether it's a present sadness or whether it's a present difficulty or something that you've gone through, sometimes we need to be reminded of these things. One thing that I said very recently is that the Lord is the rock. The rock doesn't change position. We are the ones who change position. The rock stays mm-hmm. there, but we're the ones who yeah. cling to the rock. And the reason why you have to cling to it, because you have to hold on to it because it's not going anywhere. And so we have to cling to that rock. And sometimes we let go because, well, this rock isn't moving and answering my questions the way it wants to be answered, you know. And so yeah. I like using that illustration. One thing you mentioned about the why questions, I want you to talk about that really quickly, because there are some people, you have little kids, and little kids go, well, why? And you say, because of this. Well, why?
Yep.
Because of this. So I wanted to get your opinion about something. I don't know if you saw the movie, but did you get a chance to see the movie called Interview with God? An Interview with God.
No, I haven't. Give me a little
okay.
background.
I recently saw it very recently, like I think last week. And it's a movie about this gentleman who has an interview with God. And he has 3 days to have 3 interviews with God. And, of course, the guy who plays God is a really good actor who plays evil people. So it was really funny. So anyway,
okay.
in the movie, he's asking God questions. And some of the questions he's asking, and I hate saying God because the guy is not God, but in the context of the movie, the God is being deliberately vague, but not so vague as to make you answer the questions more as much as, are you listening to what I am telling you? It was almost that way. And then toward the end of the movie, it got derailed and went off to a weird direction that I thought was stupid. But before that, a lot of the questions that the interviewer was asking were questions about evil, questions about why does God do this, questions about his own personal life. And one thing that the movie brought into play was that God is concerned with us on a personal level, not just this grandfather in the sky who just wants to make sure all his kids are happy and don't know what all his kids need. But in the movie, the interviewer realized that God is saying, what do you want to ask me? I'm talking to you. I'm right here in front of you. What do you want to know? Talk to me. Have this relationship and have this conversation with me. And so that's what I wanted to get your opinion on. But if you haven't seen the movie, you know, you probably can't really talk about that. But what do you think about that? That God is not just the God of the universe, that he's so high we can't reach to him, that he's actually very personable with us. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. And when you understand God wants, and I dive into that, of course, in the book, but when you understand what he wants, it's all about being personal. Right, it's all about mm-hmm. him, one, wanting to get to know you and wanting you to get to know him, which means he's knowable, right? If he wants you to get to know him and he wants you to invest the time it takes to get to know him, then that means he is knowable. And the other cool part about that is God once you understand God and who he is and how big and massive he is, you realize it's going to take me some time to get to know him, right? Because he's so big. He's got so many aspects to him. He's got so many things about him that I need to know. I'm going to be spending some time here getting to know him. And that's exactly what God wants, right? He wants you to spend the time, invest the time, which is all about him being personal with you, right? It's about him being an intimate part of your life and you allowing him to be that intimate part of your life. You allowing him to be your greatest possession, your greatest treasure in your life. And then you acting and responding that way with him, right? So you absolutely were right on the money there.
I appreciate that because I always want to make sure if I'm saying something wrong, he can always, I say this all the time, always correct me because I am the last person who would say she's got it all together. The last to say that. And so go ahead and tell us about What Does God Want? Tell us about the book. And don't give us any spoilers per se. You know, not like how things, you know how to do it. Just
right.
Tell us about the book.
All right. So basically the question, What Does God Want, kind of came about initially I was writing a self-help book, right? Because I went through these struggles and challenges and I wanted to help other people. So initially I was writing a book that I thought was going to help people. I got in about 200,000 words. And if you know anything about writing and books and words, a normal book is about 70,000 words. So I was at 200,000 words and I had one volume and one big book. And so it was massive. And there's no way your first book is going to be, you know, three volumes big. So I had to break it up. So I broke it up into a series of 10. And the first one just kind of naturally fell into the what does God want aspect of things and answering that question. So basically what I do in the first few chapters, I think chapter 4, I answer the question directly. But I build up to it there and kind of answer a couple other questions first. First, perspective. You know, how important is perspective and how important is our perspective of God? And we learn in that chapter, of course, our perspective of God is really irrelevant because it's what's important is God's perspective of himself. So we really have to focus and change and say, well, I don't want to develop my own perspective of God. I want to get his perspective of himself. I really want to know who he is. I don't want to have this facade or this curtain up in front that says, well, this is God, but it's not really God because this is God who I've made God out to be. But I want to really know the one and true and only God, all warts and all. Of course, he doesn't have warts, but I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly with God, because sometimes when we don't know what he's doing or why he's doing what he's doing, we may think it's bad, and in reality, it tends to be some of the best things for us. So I work on answering that question, and then after I answer the question and show people why he wants what he wants, I then start building on, investing in what he wants, how to ask questions, how to be sincere about our questions, and then how he's designed us and created us to learn and grow and develop. And how he gets excited when we start learning and start wanting to learn more about him and invest in that. And then, of course, I kind of end the first book there with, no matter what we go through, no matter what we've been through, no matter what we've done, God is always going to love us. And this is why, right? And so I kind of go into that a little bit as well. So that's kind of the outline or the high-level outline of the book and kind of how it became the book that it is today.
One thing about What Does God Want is that you're talking about difficult things, and I know a lot of people can relate to that. But in particular, you're talking about special needs, particularly just special needs, but, you know, you talk about special needs. And you can be as transparent or as candid as you like because both of your sons are dealing with special needs. Tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for asking too. So the challenge God brought into my life is I was 22, almost 23 years old when he blessed me with my first son. And to me, being a father was probably one of the most special things I think I could think of at the time, right? I just loved children and loved being a father, being a dad. So I was excited when my first son was, or my wife got pregnant with my first son, and I couldn't wait for him. I didn't really feel the transition of parenthood until I held my son in my arms for the first time. And then when I did, and when I was looking down at him, I was kind of caught off guard by how much you could just love someone you just met, right? So deeply, so profoundly. I mean, it kind of just overwhelmed me at the time. And as time went on, he just wasn't developing, right? So he was 4 or 5 months old, and you should be sitting up and rolling over and starting to crawl and stuff like that. And he was doing none of those things. And then when he was 8 months old, he was diagnosed with mixed cerebral palsy. And if anybody knows anything about cerebral palsy, it's not a birth defect normally, right? It's very rarely, if ever, a birth defect. It's more of a traumatic brain injury, meaning in a car accident or falling off a bike or a horse or something like you've hit your head and you've got some kind of traumatic brain injury, and now your muscles and the signals between your brain and your muscles don't work correctly and they can't control the muscles. Well, my son was born with mixed cerebral palsy, and so he was going to be a quadriplegic for the rest of his life, meaning he wasn't going to walk, he wasn't going to talk, he wasn't going to get married, he wasn't going to grow up, he wasn't going to do anything that was part of my hopes and dreams for my son, right? And because he couldn't talk, he could never say anything like, "Hey, Dad, I love you." And so I would never hear those words from my sons, right? So it was like, you know, a heart or a dagger to the chest of my heart saying, you know, yeah, you have all these hopes and dreams of being a father, but you're not really going to be a father because your kids are damaged goods, right? And so there was a lot of pain and a lot of hurt in that. So because I was a Christian, I think the first son, when he was born like this, I responded in a way that said, okay, well, God must know what he's doing. He must think we could handle this challenge, and so we'll continue on. And, of course, the doctors didn't help this much because they said, well, you know, cerebral palsy as a birth defect is rare. It's like 9 million to 1 odds. And so they said, you can have more kids, and they'll be perfectly fine. So we had my second son, and when he was 5 months old, we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that him, like his brother, had been born with mixed cerebral palsy. So now I had two sons, both quadriplegics, both with mixed cerebral palsy. And that's kind of when things snapped. That's when things changed in my life and my relationship with God. Because now I was mad, right? I wasn't just mad. I was furious. I was furious at God and why he would destroy my dreams so utterly. I mean, they were just annihilated. They weren't just destroyed, right? They were just annihilated. There was no hope, nothing for me to hang on to with my boys and my relationship. And so that's when, you know, that's when the story starts at chapter one and me shaking my fist at God saying, you know, what are you doing to me? Why are you picking on me? And of course, those were all the wrong questions to ask, but that's all I knew to do at the time.
That's why I want our listeners who are listening to the sounds of our voices to pick up this book, What Does God Want? And if you understand why I said getting struck by lightning twice, this can be devastating for a lot of people to have not one son that has special needs, but two children have special needs, and those dreams that you have for your children to see them seemingly waylaid. And so that's why I wanted you to really pay attention to what Walker is saying. So what I want you to do too is make sure you get a copy of this book. This book is going to be so helpful for those of you who ask the question, what does God want? Especially when you're asking that question in the midst of tragedy. When we come back, we'll be talking more about what does God want in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Specfaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. I am so very glad you're here with me. I know that I am being so blessed with Walker's story as he talks about and gives us the opportunity to ask the question, what does God want? But when we ask that question, are we asking the right question? And that's what his book, What Does God Want, is talking about. Make sure you go ahead and get your copy of What Does God Want today. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And let me tell you, one thing that Walker says in the beginning of his book, it's all about perspective. And one thing you mentioned, Walker, as we continue our discussion about the book, is that perspective is so very, very important. And I told you offline, we were emailing back and forth, that I'm a Trekkie. And so being a Trekkie, I watch Star Trek, okay? And so there's one episode where this event happens, and you're seeing it through three different perspectives. And so you kind of think, okay, who is telling the truth? And this was the Next Generation, not the original series, which I'm a huge fan of, but it's Next Generation. And what they did is keep it kind of vague. They say, well, something happened. You know, we just don't know what happened. We don't know what the truth is. Tell us about, even though someone can have a particular perspective, it doesn't matter what your perspective is. It matters what God's perspective is. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, one of the things, and I have to give God credit on how he managed the tragedy within my life. So he allowed me to throw my temper tantrum, to get mad, shake my fist, and yell and scream at him, right? But he never, ever once did I ever resent the boys for them being handicapped. They've always been the most valuable and precious thing in my life. In fact, I still see them all the time. I live in Southern California. They still live in Southern Oregon. So I travel 800 miles three or four times a year to go get them and bring them down here for a couple weeks just so I can spend some time with them. And mm-hmm. and our passion, our desire is to move closer so I can spend even more time with them. They're just the greatest people to have around and to just love on and to be in love with. And they still can't do much, right? They still can't talk. They still can't walk. They still can't do anything for themselves. They're in adult diapers and all that other kind of stuff. They're 35 and 34 years old now, right? So they're adult handicapped people, but they're still the biggest blessing in my life ever. And so I would not have that perspective if God had not done this in my life, right? So one of the things I say in the book when I finally came to the end of my rope is and I didn't appreciate this until he showed it to me, right? So people that have normal – do you have children, Parker?
I don't have children, unfortunately.
You don't have children.
Continue.
Okay. So, but people that have children, they have normal kids, right? So when they have normal kids, they can walk, they can talk, they can tell you I love you, and they can do all those kinds of things. But as they get older and they grow up, they start doing things on their own, and they start doing things that maybe you don't agree with, you know, like getting drunk, driving a car, getting in an accident or something like that, or hurting other people, or getting addicted to drugs. And I mean, a regular parent has all those things to worry about all the time. Well, all I ever had to worry about with my boys was who they were going to love, who were they going to love on next, right? And that was my perspective with them and of them, is I didn't have all those other tragedies and dramas and traumas that regular parents had. I just had two beautiful boys who only knew how to love people and love on people. Mm. And they would love to play. They would love to just hang out, watch a movie, and enjoy your company. And so having that perspective or gaining that perspective was something that kind of caught me off guard or was a surprise to me, because I don't know that I expected it. I just expected, you know, here God was punishing me and picking on me, but it was the furthest thing from what he was doing. And as, of course, as I said earlier, it was because I didn't really know who he was.
Now, there's a couple of things I want to ask you. We're getting close to the end of our show. So there's a couple of things I want to ask you quickly. You know, readers who are going to pick up this book, what kind of practical applications are they going to get when they pick up this book?
Well, the first one is I do answer the question, even though we haven't really come out and blatantly said it here on the show. I do answer the question as to what does God want. And when you find the answer, it kind of becomes obvious, because that's what he's all about. And then after you find out what he wants, then the question really comes back to you. When you know what God wants, are you willing to invest in what he wants? And one of the things I point out in the book is that we have, each of us individually, we have the exact relationship with God that we want. We don't have the relationship with God that God wants with us. We have the relationship with God that we want with him. So, which means we're kind of in control of that relationship. We can invest as much or as little as we like. And God wants us to invest and go all in our relationship with him, and just work on getting to know him, work on falling in love with him, right? So,
I like the fact that you give us practical applications, because when people deal with tragedy, and for some people they may look upon this as this is tragic, but you say, you know what, the Lord has blessed me with two wonderful children, and that's what it comes down to. I know I mentioned about
Absolutely.
My nephew who has special needs, and I, like I said, even during the break, I wouldn't trade him for anything. There's nothing I would trade him for, and nothing. There's nothing you can give me to replace my nephew exactly as he is. Now, of course, we want him to be – of course, there are certain things we want, but the Lord has given us the opportunity to love what he has given us and love it wholeheartedly. And that's what happens Amen. When you look from his perspective and not from our perspective. Now, how have
exactly.
readers responded to the book? What has been some of the responses you've received?
Actually, everybody is very – very positive about it and the impact of it. They enjoy it. Some people have been caught off guard because it starts off a little rough in that, you know, I'm mad at God, right? So and that's the point I want to get people to understand, that I'm mad at God, and I have a legitimate reason to be mad at God. And in reality, of course, you never have a legitimate reason to be mad at God, but it's the human thing, right? It's the human condition. And there are a lot of people out there that are mad at God, still mad at God, and refuse to talk to him, and they're throwing, you know, 15, 20, 30-year temper tantrums, and hopefully I can reach them and say, hey, time out. You know, God really isn't that way. We often misjudge him, just like I did. I misjudged him. And we say he's one thing, and in reality, he's the furthest thing from that. And if we just take the time to see who he is, gain the proper perspective, then we can know, you know, really what he's like. And I think most of the readers, most of the people that have read the book and have commented back to me on that are appreciative of that. And there's little nuggets because, of course, perspective is a theme. So I use perspectives throughout the book, and I kind of just emphasize them in the book and try to point them out to say, you know, one of the perspectives that I think is my favorite that I'm just surprised God gave me as I was writing it was, you know, God doesn't need our permission to exist. I think that's perspective 24 or something like that. But God doesn't need our permission to exist. So it's like we think, you know, we got people out there that are saying, well, God doesn't exist or God doesn't this or, you know, that kind of thing. And in reality, he created us. He doesn't need our permission to exist, right? He's going to exist regardless of what we feel, what we think, or what we perceive. And so hopefully those kind of statements and those kinds of things, people will realize, well, you know, he's kind of got a point. You know, he doesn't need my permission to exist. Maybe I better invest a little time into getting to know him a little bit more. So that's kind of my hope, my goal of what I'm trying to achieve here.
What do you have planned next?
Well, actually, I'm so if you've ever been an independent author, you realize that writing a book is hard, right? It's really, really difficult, really, really hard. But then if you're a self-published independent author, you have to market the book yourself. So marketing a book is, I'm learning that it's about a 10,000 times harder than writing a book, even though writing a book is really, really hard. So I'm in the process of learning the ins and outs of marketing a book, and that's where I appreciate people like you that come along and just step alongside an author and help them out this way. So many, many thanks for doing that as well. But I'm also working on an audio version of the book, the first book. And then I'm about 75% done with book two, and so I'm hoping to release that this January, and that'll be that one's called The Power of Choices. So it kind of dives into, you know, now that we know what God wants, now we have a choice in front of us, and so I kind of dive into what does that choice look like, and why do we have choice, and what does that mean, right? So, All good stuff.
Oh, very good stuff. Really excited about that. You know, as we get close to the end of our show, I know some people are listening in, and they need encouragement, and they need prayer in particular. So before we pray for our listeners today, if they want to get in contact with you and talk to you, how can they do that?
The best way is, of course, through my website, www.walkerjamesauthor.com. That's the easiest way. They can ask a question there. They can shoot me an email there. I love to answer questions. I love to talk to people. I love to get to know them. I'm interested in knowing the background of their stories because there's a lot of hurting people out there that have stories as well. God has done even bigger and better things in their lives, and they can share that with other people. And I just like to get to know them and get to know their story. And So, anybody that wants to connect with me, most definitely visit my website. I'm also on Instagram at Walker James Author, and I'm on Twitter at WalkerJames29. And then, of course, I'm on Facebook with facebook.com/WalkerJamesAuthor.
Walker, it has been just phenomenal having you on the show. And what I'm going to do is mute myself, and I want you to pray for us today. I want you to pray for us and pray as long as you like. Let the Spirit lead you in your prayer, and I'm going to mute myself.
All right. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to just to share what you have done in my life and to give you the glory that you deserve for the amazing things you have done. Thank you so much for the blessings you've given all of us, Father, and I pray that you will reach out to those that are out there that are listening and that are hurting and that are going with struggles, that may be mad at you or may be upset at you or have been in the past and maybe they've resolved some of that as well. I pray that you will touch their hearts and their lives and open their eyes to what it is you want, right? Open their eyes and their hearts and their minds and their souls to their need for you. Help them to see their need for you, respond to their need for you, and desire exactly what you desire, to desire a close, personal, intimate relationship with you, to pursue that, to invest in that relationship, and just to fall in love with you and to invest the time it takes to get to know you. Thank you again just for Parker and her ministry and her love for you and her shining your light and your love in what she is doing for others. And thank you for you be giving me the opportunity to be a part of that. We love you, praise you, and thank you for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name.
Walker, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for being with me on the show today. Can't wait to have you back and have you back real soon. Thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Parker. It was a major blessing for me. Thank you very much.
And we were talking today to Walker James. He is the author of the book, What Does God Want? It's book one of a series of books that he's printing out for you, because I know all of us have tough questions that we ask God. And you know what he's telling us what to do? We need to change our perspective. And when you pick up this book and read it, you'll be like so many of the other glowing reviews of this book that tells you that once you change your perspective, you can ask the right questions of God and not just the questions you think are the right questions. Thank you so much for joining for this episode of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious blessed day, and God bless.